PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
Well, hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you, and it is Monday. We're coming to you. It's the end of August. It's the 28th of August, the day after the first FedEx Cup playoff, the Northern Trust. We're going to talk about that, what happened with DJ and Spieth. A lot of drama taking place on Long Island, and a lot of people excited about that drama because that's kind of what it was all set up for. And so we're going to talk about that. We have Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf joining us here in just a few moments to relive what happened there and talk about one hole in particular that I want to talk to Steve about, and we'll get into that. Also, a lot of things happening down in the state of Texas. I'm coming to you from Dallas. Frank Bassett joins us from Nashville, and Houston area is being devastated. Frank, I know the rest of the country is seeing all this, but living here in Texas, it's kind of overwhelming to just see how much coverage we're getting. It's almost an ongoing 24-hour cycle here. But the folks in Houston, our thoughts are with them because it's not even over yet. It's been bad for the last 3 days, and it's going to stay bad all this week, they're saying, with all the rain and flooding that's going down in Houston.
Enough rain will have fallen in the next 2 days, cumulatively, to have lasted for an entire year in Houston.
Yeah.
Right. That's the thing of it is there's so much asphalt and so much concrete in the nation's fourth largest city. There's not a lot of place for that water to go.
Right.
So the creeks can't hold it. And they're releasing, they're opening up some of the dams because they're fearful now that there could be a breach and downtown Houston will be just totally decimated. Now, how do you make the choice? You know, you're sitting out there in your home going, wait a minute, they're going to save downtown, but they're going to wipe me out now.
Right, yeah.
So, tough choices.
Tough place to be right now.
Thoughts and prayers to everybody there.
Yeah, absolutely. It extends all the way up to Austin, San Antonio. Hasn't quite gotten to Dallas. We had a little bit of rain yesterday, but it's not certainly going to be anything near what they're experiencing down in Houston. And it's not unlike when bad weather hits New Orleans. Houston is at sea level, and there's nowhere really for a lot of rain to go if you get a lot of moisture.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the low-lying areas that they're in. By the way, it's affecting a lot of sporting events, too. That's down the list of priorities, but it does affect a lot of things. The Houston Texans flew back from their game in New Orleans, came to Dallas. They're actually going to practice at the Cowboys facility because they can't get into their facilities. Cowboys and Texans have a preseason game in Houston for Thursday. They're now saying that they may play that here in Dallas. BYU and LSU were supposed to have a college football game this next weekend coming up in Houston as well. They're possibly going to move that one to LSU. Rangers and Astros are supposed to be playing in Houston. So a lot of different things are happening that are making a lot. And some of these guys that are on the Texans or the Astros, some of these different teams, the Rice Owls actually played at Stanford or against Stanford in Sydney, Australia. They couldn't fly back in. They had to come to Dallas. So they haven't even been able to get to their houses. A lot of these athletes and coaches and whatnot for these teams haven't even been to their homes to know if they're devastated or not or how bad it exactly is. So it just affects so many different things down there in Houston. So kind of overwhelming, but you know, it does show the spirit of people too. A lot of people out there saving their neighbors and getting them in boats and stuff and picking them up and taking them to some safety. So that's, I guess, a bright spot, if you will, for otherwise a pretty dark period here for Houston.
And a time for the faith-based organizations will shine. They will certainly shine in Texas. The Baptist Men's organization in Texas is huge. So good luck and Godspeed to all them.
Yeah, so we wish them the very best. As we said, the golf world was dramatic and, at least in my case, up on my feet for the last at least hour of the Northern Trust because it came down to what we want. We want the big boys battling it out, shot for shot, and it was the two top players in the world now, Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth going at it. Let's bring in Steve Johnson. He's the managing partner with Hank Haney Golf. Steve, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm still trying to recover from the Mayweather McGregor fight, though.
We haven't even gotten into that yet.
Ten rounds.
I'm just telling you where my mind is right now.
We'll get into that. We'll talk a little bit about that. But I do want to ask you, because a big thing for Hank Haney and the umbrella of Hank Haney's philosophy, which includes you, is the big miss. Just avoid the bad shot that's going to cost you, the penalty shots that's going to give you a double bogey instead of just taking a bogey or triple bogeys and whatnot. And Jordan Spieth on the sixth hole. No, I'm talking about even when he got his double bogey hit into the water.
Yeah.
Steve, on that hole, in that kind of a situation, he has a five-shot lead. He's looking good. The only thing you can't do is what he did. Am I correct? You can't hit into the water. Hit it long if you need to. Hit it in a bunker. If you get a bogey, get a bogey. But what he couldn't do is misclub himself and hit it 10 feet short, and it ends up in the water.
Right. I mean, Hank talks about the three things that you need to do to get the most out of your game, no matter what level of golf you're at, if you're the top in the world or you're just a club player. You've got to avoid penalty shots, which we're talking about right now. You've got to avoid that water. You've got to avoid three putts. And then you've got to avoid, what else do you have to avoid, Tim? This is a quiz.
Oh.
Three putts,
penalty shots.
The beverage cart.
And then if you miss the green, you got to get your next shot on the green. You got to avoid that two chipping. Two pitches, two chips, two bunker shots. You've got to avoid that.
That's okay. Tim. That's Tim right there.
If you can do those three things, you're going to get the most out of your game. You know, you're going to walk off the course and say, you know what? I know I missed some shots, but I didn't waste any. I didn't waste any shots, and I got the most I could get out of my game today. And obviously, Jordan Spieth did not.
Are you surprised by that? I mean, Spieth obviously is a guy that's got a lot of skills and on and on and on. We all make mistakes. But that was kind of a really dumb mistake, was it not, to not at least get that ball on dry land somewhere?
Yeah, this is one of those things when, you know, he was interviewed after the competition. He said, you know, I didn't lose this competition. Dustin Johnson won it. Well, if you look at the last number of holes, yes. Jordan made a great putt on 17 to make Dustin Johnson have to make a putt because he hit their bunker shots were two different distances. Jordan Spieth had 18 feet to make par, and Dustin Johnson had about 4 feet. Well, they both made that. Then they come up to the 18th hole, and Jordan knocks it up there close. He's going to make birdie, he's going to make par. And Dustin Johnson has to make about a 14-footer for a par save, and he does. And so you look at those, and you say, yeah, Dustin Johnson did play well to win, but just like in other sports, you know, at the end of the year, when you look at your playoff run, you can go back to the start of the season and say, you know what, we let games go here and here and here early in the season. And that's really what cost us. It's not that one game at the end that really cost us. It's these ones that let up. So, I mean, I think you got to look at his round in totality and just say, hey, you know what, I did make a critical error there. I could have been over the green and still made par, but now I'm knocking in the water. I didn't make a putt, and I make double bogey. So that was a strategic decision error on Jordan Spieth's part.
We also saw pretty evident the difference that a power game and an accurate power game. So I'll kind of redefine that, because there's a lot of guys can hit the ball further than Jordan Spieth, can hit it far enough, but you got to find fairway. You've got to be able to play it. And DJ was hitting five irons to Jordan late in the back nine to Jordan's hybrids. And then certainly on that playoff hole, when they went back to 18, it was almost like a man playing with children. I mean, he just takes it right over the water. Even the announcers, Nance, was thinking, okay, he's going to hit a little cut on that corner. He took it right over that pond and puts it within 60 yards, 70 yards of the green, and knocked it close, made the putt. So the power game of Dustin Johnson, it's hard to overcome that no matter who you are, if he's on like he was, at least in the back nine yesterday, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the last hole, the first playoff hole, was a wake-up call. I mean, how can you give up 80-something yards to a guy and have, you know, think that you're going to beat him, you know, not long-term, but yeah, you've got a chance to beat him even once. I mean, the you're hitting six clubs more than the other guy. Sure, he's going to beat you. Day in and day out, you can't give up that much yardage. And it just so happens that hole, after 305, if you take a line on that dogleg left, Tim, you've got 100 yards to shoot at. If you can carry the ball 305, you've got a 100-yard wide fairway. Not many guys can carry it 305. Well, Dustin Johnson carried it 335. And he had 80-something yards ahead of Jordan Spieth. Just can't give up that much yardage and hope to win.
You and I were talking yesterday, and we both, I guess it was during the front nine, and we were thinking, that DJ, although he's number one in the world and certainly great, great golfer, we both kind of thought he was going to do something to mess it up. Even though he'd gotten it back close and he was in this, within a couple of strokes at that point and having his game back, we kind of thought, and certainly when he hit his first drive on the final hole of regulation and missed the fairway, he had to lay up before. We kind of thought something like that would happen. And then he goes for that big drive. He oftentimes, in the past, would do something mentally to kind of make you go, oh, what were you doing? That you just need to do this or do. And there are some chances. But he's a gambler, and they all paid off for him. Obviously, he won the tournament. But we were both kind of laughing, thinking, okay, no, just be patient if you're Spieth, because something DJ's going to do something to shoot himself in the foot. And it didn't happen, though, yesterday, did it?
No, it didn't. And, you know, we saw that on the 72nd hole, Tim, when Dustin Johnson he was the first to tee off, and he sliced it about 40 yards off to the right into almost impossible lie. He had to just lay up, couldn't even go for the green. But Jordan Spieth put absolutely no pressure on him. No pressure at all on him. He hit the fairway, but he missed the green to the right in the bunker. And, you know, it just one of those things, man. You've got your opportunities, and when you don't capitalize on them, it does come back sometimes and bite you.
It was fun to watch and seeing two of the top golfers. They're now 1 and 2 in the world. Jordan Spieth after the tournament at the Northern Trust. Past Matsuyama for number 2 in the world. Let's talk about the FedEx Cup now in the playoffs. They move on from here to the Dell Technology Championships, and that'll be the 100 golfers that'll make it to that tournament and play there. Do you like it? It's been since about 10 years now that we've had the playoffs. Is there anything you would improve? Would you change anything about the FedEx Cup playoffs the way it is, or do you like the way that it is now and the way that it plays out at the end of the season?
I mean, you got to give it to the PGA Tour. They've changed the rules almost every year. You know, they've had the first few years of the FedEx Cup. There was guys that had won so much during the regular season, like Vijay Singh and Tiger Woods, that when they came into the FedEx Cup, they'd essentially already won the cup. So it was kind of a hollow playoffs. But now, I mean, you've got 2,000 points for the win. You've got five times as many points when you win a tournament. I mean, the standings change a bunch. And you could see that Dustin Johnson just took a big lead now over Jordan Spieth. Hideki Matsuyama was leading going in. And you know what? I think the big thing now is these guys just have to get – they've got to position themselves in the top five, because if they get in the top five and they win that last tournament with 30 players, they win the $10 million and the FedEx Cup. And, you know, we didn't hear much about – Rory McIlroy this
right.
week, although he's looks like he's going to be playing in every event. These guys are really trying to position themselves. Johnny Rahm had a great tournament, came and tied for second. Jonathan Degas, who, you know, he's a good player, but he's not, we never look at him as being one of the top players. He's never part of the conversation when we talk about who's going to win the next major, but he had a great tournament, shot the low round of the day. And, no, I'm excited about it. I can't wait to watch. Now, we're playing courses. TPC Boston is a good course. It's not, I don't think it's the same type of stature, of course, as Glen Oaks was. And it's Conway Farm, which they're going to play in 3 weeks. And then you go to Eastlake. And I like the old school golf courses on the East Coast. I mean, I just love watching it.
We're talking with Steve Johnson, his managing partner with Hank Haney Golf. What about the guys in the bubble? Bubba Watson was saying he was getting ready to coach his kids' Little League games because he was done, and he's played himself back into things. He had a very good tournament, and Bubba shot a 70 yesterday, finished at 4 under, picked up a nice check, and he'll continue to play. So that drama is there, too. I've seen the guys that are on the bubble, Harold Varner III and David Lingworth also played their way back into it, and some other guys – not so fortunate that moved down in the standings a little bit and did get quite to the 100 mark that they needed to get to. I like that drama, too. It's almost as much at the top as there is at the bottom to see who's in. Michael Kim is right at 100, so he gets in. Brendan Grace, Cody Gribble, all Patton Kizire, all just made it at 100 or 99, 98, somewhere in there. But on the other end, guys like Martin Flores, DA Points, just missing out. Luke Donald by just a few points here and there to drop below the 100 mark. So I kind of like the drama of it, too, to see Bubba Watson's. Ernie Els is the only guy that's ever played his way all the way to the Tour Championship. He was totally out of it several years ago and kept playing well enough in the playoffs to continue and get all the way to the Tour Championship. So that's kind of cool, too, that you see these guys that, in Bubba's case, a big-name player, but see some of these guys that you're not always paying attention to, but they keep you updated with where they're at in the standings. It's kind of neat to see these guys make it week after week when they kind of think they're done.
Yeah, there's a number of stories that we're all interested in. That being one of them, you know, I remember Billy Horschel a few years ago won two of the events and ended up winning the FedEx Cup, barely got in. Now, he was in. He was right. Part of the top 125 going into, the Wyndham a few years ago. So it wasn't like a Harold Varner who was outside the top 125 and has two really good tournaments. He's really enjoying it. They interviewed him. Another one of the stories that's neat, Tim, is the who's going to make the President's Cup team. You know, I mean, you've got Charlie Hoffman, who was in and out and in. The Americans are really battling to get part of that top 10. And then, you know, is Phil Mickelson going to make it? Is Phil Mickelson going to have to be a selection? He's never, ever been selected. Had to be selected as a captain's right. pick for any event, cup match, either the Ryder Cup or the President's Cup. But it looks like this could be his first year if Captain Stricker elects to take him.
Yeah, he could be looking on the outside from and that's I guess where you're at. Phil is now, geez, I've lost track. What is Phil? 45 now, ish, 46. When you get to that age. Those things kind of start to happen. And I am curious about one of your former pupils that you were working with last year, Sung Kang. Is he eligible for the President's Cup?
Yes. He's not part of the top 10 right now. I mean, the international crew is pretty darn good. You're taking in Australia. You're taking everything other than Great Britain and Ireland. Now, they were talking about Emiliano Grillo is number 12 right now. Let me think of who else. So you've got Asia, Australia,
South Africa.
I mean, you've got a darn good team now.
Canada.
Maybe the U.S. team has pretty much mopped up the course with the international team most of the time. But now, I think the parity is there. Now we did have two top U.S. guys. in the final group this week, but heck, you never know.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. I love the. It's not as dramatic as the Ryder Cup, but Frank, you and I both were talking about it. We may be there for the President's Cup as well. We're really looking forward to the Ryder Cup next year.
It'll be
in France,
Paris.
Am I right on that?
Paris.
Yeah,
you bet.
So it'll be a lot of fun to cover. But those team events are a lot of fun. I know we're looking kind of down the road here. Several weeks, but they're all strategizing right now, and the captains are looking at who's playing well, who they might pick for these for the President's Cup, and like you said, Mickelson maybe in, maybe out, but those team competitions, Frank, are some of the most fun golf that anybody can watch when you get a chance to watch it on TV.
Yeah, I think we need to get David Johnson to go with us as one of our co-hosts. Remember, David was the fellow who called out the European team and said,
sure.
I can make that putt. We had the first interview with him, by the way, right after that, which was pretty cool.
Then he came on with us at the Masters.
Yeah, came down and joined us at the Masters. Yeah,
his 15 minutes of fame.
And Steve Johnson, he had done Letterman and all whatever shows, okay, all the Kimmel, whatever, and Ellen, and he said still that he enjoyed being with us more than any of them. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. That is cool.
No, team competitions are my favorite. Match play, love it.
I want to go on record, Frank, as saying that I enjoy being with you guys more than I enjoy being with Letterman and those other guys as well.
Thank you.
And Hank,
thank
too?
He's not going to answer that.
I can't cut my own throat there. No comment on that one.
Hey, by the way, I always listen to Hank's show and your show, and it really is better when you two are on together. I really enjoy the back and forth between you two on SiriusXM. It's really good
stuff. Well, thank you. I tend to be the receiver of a lot of
yeah.
I don't tend to dole out a lot. I receive a lot, but that's my role, and I enjoy it, and we have – you ought to hear us off the air. I tell Hank, I said, save it for on the air. And
it's like Archie and Edith.
Archie and Edith Bunker?
Yeah, yeah. Is that what you guys just keep going at each other.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. He's
been a 30-year relationship.
Getting back to the I'm still trying to get over this Conor McGregor fight. I picked Conor McGregor because I like the guy. I like his character. I mean, now he's a blue collar guy.
Sure.
But he's the type of guy we can learn a lot from, especially like when you see relating it to golf. I mean, he truly believes. And that's one of the things that these golfers have, the guys that are champions, is that they truly believe in their ability, and their confidence comes from a deep-rooted belief in what they're doing and their team and everything else and the work that they've put in. And Conor McGregor really helps inspire, especially the younger players, the ability to really embrace that, hey, dream big and work hard, and if you do and if you believe, you're going to be able to achieve something. So I picked Conor McGregor because I just wanted to see him win. I thought I've never seen Floyd Mayweather fight. I heard how great he was and what a great fighter he was and all that. And I know he's a great fighter, great defender. But when I picked Conor McGregor, Hank started calling me names. So I mean, he made it personal. He made it personal right away. I was an idiot. I was, stupid and.
Well, he went 10 rounds. He went 10 rounds.
Did you watch the fight? Did you watch it, Steve, at all?
I did watch the fight. And, okay. After the fight, Floyd Mayweather said that he has retired from boxing and never going to fight again. And I told Hank, I'm going to make a declaration, too. I am never going to watch another boxing match in my life. boxing is so boring. And, the ref plays a huge part. I see the scorecards, and the scorecards, you'd think that they would be very similar. But, man, I'm thinking, what are these guys watching that they can get so different of opinion of who's winning a round and who's not winning a round? It's too much like figure skating for me. There's a lot of subjective unless a guy just gets knocked out, you leave too much to the judges and to the referee, for my liking.
Yeah, it is a tough sport. Yeah, if there isn't a knockout or TKO in this case, it does. If it goes to the judges, it's always, we've all seen it, where the fans are booing it because they're like, how did they come up with that? So you never know, and it is subjective. If somebody's got a bias, somebody appreciates defense more than the others, the guy didn't punch, but he count or whatever. I mean, there's so many factors that go into it. But it didn't come down to that in this one, and Conor McGregor was certainly overwhelmed. He is not a boxer. His first match he's ever had. But what about the dollars, Frank? I mean, they're saying that Mayweather will get in the area of $300 million plus and Conor McGregor over $100 million.
I'd let either one of them beat the hell out of me for $300 million.
Holy smokes.
Let me make it real for you guys, Tim. And Tim, I see you getting these kind of dollars, too.
Yeah,
for the shorts. Now, we're talking about the boxing shorts that they're wearing in the ring. If you have your logo on the front side seam, costs you $3.5 million to be on the front side seam of Floyd Mayweather's shorts. If you're on the front top waist, again another $3.5 million. That's $7 million in just the front of his shorts. The rear center, $3 million. Rear top waist, $2 million. The front thigh, $1.5 million, and the rear thigh, $1.5 million. $15 million in endorsements just because of his shorts.
I did not know that. That is pretty good. Look at you doing your research.
Wow.
I had no idea they got that kind of money.
I didn't either.
Those logos.
That's
big dollars.
The PGA Tour, like the Titleist hat or the name on the front of the hat, the name on the front of the shirt, the name on the collar, whatever, it pales in comparison to that.
It does. Yeah, Steve,
what's the guy get?
Golf, and we'll relate these endorsements. Dollars to golf, 50% of the value of an endorsement deal, whatever that deal is, like a Nike deal, 50% is put right on that cap. So the cap is a very important part of the endorsement dollar on the PGA Tour. Where the shorts are the big attraction for the boxer, now he's going to get $1 million for his endorsement of the robe. His victory cap, $1 million. His boxing shoes, $1 million. The weigh-in truck's $1 million. They sell $5 million in ring sponsorships. I'm telling you what, man, it's like the mint over there. They're printing money. Yeah.
We need to find who does that for them and hire them for Golf Talk America. Immediately.
The shorts I'm wearing right now, Steve, say Bob's Donuts. You think I can get something? Can I get something out of that, you think?
On Hank's show, Tim, one of the listeners said, we were talking about the McGregor-Mayweather fight, and one of the listeners called in. He said, what I really want to know is if Hank and Steve got in a fight, who'd win?
I heard that. And Hank said it would be you.
Hank has the will of a lion. He has he will not give up. He would be a guy that anyone would hate to fight because he's not gonna throw in the towel. I would give up way before he does. So
really,
yeah, I don't think that's gonna happen though. That we will never see that match.
He said no. But he said on the air that Steve, you'd kick him. He said you were a hoss. You were tough. That was pretty good. I like that banter between you two.
I don't think we'll ever see that. That match is never going to happen. So
plus, let's be honest. Hank's got arms like Bubba Watson.
I'm not even going to go there.
We're
Steve. At least works out a little bit. Hank doesn't work out.
I can't even believe a listener came up with that question. But nonetheless,
I can.
We like to entertain, but that won't be one of our entertainment.
That's not going to be a pay per view. Yeah, people are gonna want to put a lot of money out to see that one. In this corner,
now
Hank Haney.
Now, Steve, you'll be doing the show this week with Hank or no?
I'll sit in a little bit. I am. I do the second and third. I do Saturday, Sunday on my own, and then I do the following week. I'll do a couple on my own. If there's something really, what I tend to pop on with Hank when there's something a little controversy. Because I'm known as the pot stirrer, and one of the listeners said I was controversial. So that's kind of where I fit in on the show.
Well,
so,
Tim, by the way, how's Hank doing? Steve? How's he doing? He had an accident recently.
He did?
Oh, he's doing good. He's doing good. He's fine.
He fell off his moped.
He's still up in Gozer, and he is. We had to postpone our wakeboard pickleball golf camp, but he's coming down. We're going to go to the opening day at the Cowboys on September 10th, and we're going to go check out the Cowboys. So we're looking forward to that.
Hank Haney has a moped.
Well, what was it? Motorcycle, moped? What was it, Steve? A scooter.
That's a private story.
Okay.
That's not for air.
Okay, we won't put that on the air. Well, you know, Snedeker fell off of one of the,
we hope he's better.
The sheriff's department.
Tim, why don't we talk about your
Vespa?
What's it called?
Is it a Vespa?
What?
It's pink.
What's that deal you get on your lip all the time? Your cold sore. Let's talk about your cold sore.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Tim. Wow. Bad boy.
It's been nice having you on the show.
Hey, by the way, you know, Brant Snedeker, several years ago, the sheriff's department here in Davidson County, Tennessee, got new, what are those things called?
Segway.
New Segways. So they all go down to ride the Segways at a party. They're at a cookout where there's whatever, libations, adult beverages. So Snedeker gets on one of them and goes running down the street and falls on it, falls off of it, and hurts himself.
Mm. Easy to do.
Those things are dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, motorcycles are dangerous.
Yeah. Those guys got to be careful. I mean, hopefully Rory McIlroy will not play in the FIFA event on his front lawn anymore. And, you know,
you
hear about the guys, I mean, even David Duvall falling, snowboarding, and Phil Mickelson cracking his clavicle because of snowboarding. It just, I mean, they've only got so long as athletes, and they've got to protect their competitive years. And Phil will probably be competitive into his 60s. So,
you know, with life insurance, you when you get it, you have to do your scuba dive, do your skydive, yada, 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 right? How did Tiger Woods all these years, I wonder what his premium was, because he's a free diver, and how dangerous. It doesn't get much more dangerous than that, unless you free dive in a tank with sharks.
Yeah, and a lot of other things.
I think he was under the policy of don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah. But that was little known, really. Not a lot of people knew that he was a big free diver because he would do free diving with a friend of mine's son. And I was like, wow, that's just scary stuff. Why do that? You know, it's nuts.
I don't think a lot of people, he didn't tell a lot of people about a lot of things he was doing.
Well, we don't want to go there.
He didn't have the money. Yeah, money.
There's a lot of things he didn't come forth.
Let's just leave it at that, right?
It's a family show.
Yeah. So, hey, Steve, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much for being with us and best of luck in continuing to do, have a lot of fun with Hank on his show on Sirius XM. And,
we'll call in Saturday or Sunday, by the way.
Hey, we better edit out a bunch of this show. We'll probably end up with about 2 minutes of content.
There'll be nothing left.
Don't let
Hank
guys.
Thanks,
have a good Steve. Week, Steve. All right.
See ya.
Take care. Yeah. Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney.
That's too fun.
Formerly with Hank Haney Golf.
Hank Haney has
now.
A moped?
Yeah, well,
he shut me off on that one pretty quick, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why that was,
you know, 5 miles an hour down the street. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, that we didn't ask him. I mean, that was a shank. Well, that 6-iron that Spieth hit, that had to be a shank.
I mean, it wasn't
it was close.
Pure shank as far as it went into the crowd, but he sure missed it by about 20 yards.
But it was just a low, screaming... just miss.
I thought it was actually going to end up in the bunker to the right there. It actually caught at least the fringe of the green, but left him 7 feet. But as Steve said, he had an opening there to put some pressure if he would have hit a good shot on DJ, knowing that he's going to probably maybe have a good chance at birdie. He obviously didn't have that. So, I don't know. It played out the way it played out, and good drama. And I think for Spieth, it was a good experience. And obviously, top golfers will always know you're always going to be in the hunt. You're not going to win them all, but you always want to be right there at the finish, and it's always a learning experience. I think Spieth will learn a number of things from that, and possibly he'll stay away from water the rest of his career. never hit into the water.
Oh Lord, go long, go wide, right? Possibly. Don't go short. So anyway, hey, speaking of water, and a man that waterlogged joins us every week, waterlogged live from Houston, Texas, and we hope he's okay. I talked to Janice last night on the phone. We just called to make sure they were okay there in Houston. But Bob Bupka joined us now live from Houston, Texas. Good morning, Bob.
Well, I might be the ultimate radio segue from Jordan Spieth going into the water, coming to Houston where we're inundated with water, and it really is an extremely, extremely serious situation. It's really hard to believe the magnitude of what's happening. 50 counties currently in flood conditions. And then probably the cruelest thing of all is the announcement made last night that they're going to have to open a couple of dams for fear that they will burst. And they notified 1,000 homes that they would be flooded this morning. They were told that they'll have to leave, and they won't be able to come back for 2 months. So that's really harsh news. But the public service people, law enforcement, first responders, fire department, volunteers, everybody doing a great job, much like the job done by Dustin Johnson. I mean, it's not easy, as you guys well know, to start a final round 3 shots back, especially when that player is Jordan Spieth.
Oh, that was unbelievable. What great drama yesterday, though, Bob. It was, Tim and I were talking earlier how exciting it was. And Spieth in the post-round interview said that Dustin Johnson beat him. He didn't give it to him. He actually beat him. And I don't know that I totally agree with that, although Dustin did, it was pretty heroic, I think, in my opinion, what he did, especially on the playoff hole when he just took it across the water and put it, 70 yards, 65 yards out of the green. Unbelievable.
Well, you know, it's amazing. I was talking to a club professional on Long Island earlier this morning that played Glen Oaks 2 weeks ago. Matter of fact, his name's Bob Joyce. His brother Tom Joyce was the head professional at Glen Oaks for 27 years, so he knows that golf course very well. That 18th hole, he played it 2 weeks ago, and he's a real good player. He played it 50 yards up. from where Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth had to play yesterday. And he said he hit a real good drive, and he had a 5-iron into the green. and Dustin Johnson's playing it 50 yards back and has a gap wedge into the green. I mean, just an unbelievable display of the talent that Dustin Johnson has. I know he's the number one ranked player in the world, but I don't know if golf fans truly appreciate the ability that this guy has to play the game, and with his high proficiency with his wedges now. I mean, if you can drive it 9 million miles and hit good wedges, I mean, you become awfully tough to beat.
Yeah, he's kind of back to where he was, and he even said that, before his injury at the Masters. Really has been struggling since then, which is a long time, and it didn't seem like it was even that severe an injury, because he got there and wanted to play and was warming up the morning of and didn't play. So it kind of seemed like, oh, well, in a week or two he'll be okay, and it's taken a lot longer for him to get back to his game being where it is. But, boy, it certainly was evident. And I think in Spieth's sense of saying, you know, I didn't lose it, this guy won it, DJ shot a 66, and there's only a couple of 65s. It was one of the best rounds of the day. So it certainly wasn't like Jordan shot a 75 somewhere. Jordan shot 69 himself, but DJ just a little bit better. And, again, when you come to that playoff hole and the extra hole, I don't know if intimidation is the right word or not, because these guys know what each other can do. But, Bob, you got to think that when Jordan saw, and you could see the camera angle, where Jordan saw where DJ was, which was about a Walmart between them, it had to be like, oh my, I'm hitting a 6 or 7 iron back here, and I'm hoping to get it within 20 feet. He's got inside of 100 yards with a little 60 degree wedge. It had to be a little bit intimidating for Jordan to see how far Dustin was ahead of him.
And just to correct you a little bit, Tim, that was a Walmart Super Center. That wasn't just a regular-sized Walmart. Incredible, but just a display of the talent that he has. And when you look at Dustin Johnson, you know, extremely athletic. I mean, it looks like he could play baseball, basketball, football. The sport wouldn't really matter. He just plays golf. But you can't say enough about his ability. And you brought up a great point, Tim. You know, going into the Masters, he had won 3 straight times and was odds-on favorite to win at the Masters, and then sustains that injury. And interestingly enough, and like Frank's report on this also, you know, it seemed like a minor injury. Well, the same thing happened to Rory McIlroy. His seemed like a minor injury. It seems like these little niggling injuries when you're a professional golfer are worse than something that's clearly defined, a serious injury, but it heals up and it goes away. These injuries that continually nag at you, awfully difficult for a professional golfer to overcome.
Even Snedeker, Frank, right? Snedeker's had that rib injury.
Yeah,
that's lingered for a long time. It doesn't seem like a serious thing, but it continues to keep him sidelined.
Well, I believe that they just come back too soon every time because of whatever reason, and we all know some of the reasons, but I think that's the case. They have to get out and practice. In the case of McIlroy, now Snedeker doesn't, you know, work out in the gym like McIlroy does or like, you know, Tiger did. But, I just think they come back too quick. Long way around that story. But stay away, get well, get really well, and then work your way back into the game. But that can't happen, it seems.
We're talking with Bob Bubka. He's the host of the Grill Room on TuneIn Radio. Looking forward, Bob, the schedule after this week. They, of course, go to the TPC Boston for the Dell Technologies Championship, then BMW Championship, and then the Final 30 make it to the Tour Championship, all part of the FedEx Cup playoffs. And they're talking about now, okay, let's narrow it down to who's going to be the player of the year. And it seemed like after the PGA Championship, everybody loved the fact that, oh, I really like Justin Thomas. Oh, yeah, he's playing great. And then Spieth's playing better, and he's got a major. Now DJ's got 4 wins. Matsuyama's got 4 wins. Right now, who do you think would be the front runner? We still have some tournaments to play, so it maybe is yet to be decided. But do you think there is a front runner?
First off, I think the overall winner this past week has to be the PGA Tour in the way they helped set up Glen Oaks. I mean, the rough was just tough enough. The fairways were just narrow enough. The speeds on the green were just fast enough. Everything was done right, and it proved to be the ultimate test. But what we have, I think the player of the year is really up for grabs, guys, and it's going to depend on who plays the best out of the remaining events. I mean, if it ended right now, as you just said, Tim, it's probably a coin toss. You want to pick Matsuyama, you want to pick Thomas, you want to pick Spieth, you want to pick Johnson. All four of them have had the type of year where they should be player of the year. So I think it probably come right down to Eastlake. If any of those four win the Tour Championship or the FedEx Cup, they would have to be Player of the Year.
I totally agree with that. Comeback Player of the Year. Comeback Player of the Year. Who would that be? I don't have a guess on that.
Boy, that is a real good question. I haven't given any thought to that because nobody's coming back. I mean, everybody's getting to the top in there, and they're just staying there. Maybe we can put a vote in for John Daly, who finished in the top 10 playing over in Denmark using that vertical groove driver. I mean, a top 10 finish on a European tour for a PGA Tour champions player like John Daly, certainly very impressive. And I think maybe he's up for the comeback player of the year on the PGA Tour champions.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that at all.
Yeah, Vert could be.
Vert Golf, VERTGOLF.com, by the way. Check it out. I have one. Tim has one. Bob has one. John Daly obviously has one. Kenny Perry. Yeah, they're great drivers. I love mine. I love it. Never loan it to Roger again.
Well, I'm trying to trade mine right now for a kayak. I think I need a kayak more than I need a Vert Group driver, but hopefully everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, I want a pontoon, but hey, you're north of Houston, right?
Yeah, I'm a little north of Houston, up by Lake Conroe, but Lake Conroe is starting to flood, and they're evacuating some of the neighborhoods. But the strangest thing happened that I was up the last few days extremely early. I opened the garage door at a little before 5 a.m. this morning, and I'm standing there, and I hear this huge noise. I had no idea what it was because it was totally dark. Waited until daylight, walked outside, two houses down, this gigantic tree had come crashing down, and I had no idea what it was while I was standing there.
Wow.
But fortunately, it just missed the house and missed the car, so nobody was hurt. But that's going to be the situation for us over the next couple of days because the storm Harvey now turning into a tropical storm, which is going to bring more wind and going to bring more moisture. And I don't know how much this ground can handle. And it was kind of ironic talking to one of the pallbearers for Harvey Penick. And, you know, Harvey's pet saying that it was so famous, he wanted all of his players to take dead aim. Well, this hurricane certainly has taken dead aim on Houston.
Boy, it has. It has. And outside of the effect on the people and the homes and all that, to take it from a golf perspective, the golf courses are going to take a long time to recover in the Houston area, too, from all this.
That's a great point, Frank. And matter of fact, there's a driving range not too far from where I live. It's at least 4 feet underwater, maybe even 5 feet. I mean, it looks like a lake. But so many golf courses with trees down and flooding, it really is going to be a shame. And it's going to take a long time to recover. I mean, you just don't come back from something of this magnitude. And hats off to all the superintendents out there and their crews because they're going to have to work extra hard over the next few months to even get their golf courses back playable.
Well, Sharpstown's in South Houston. Sugarland. Is Sugarland underwater also? That's a fabulous golf course out that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Sugarland was taking a hit earlier today. The entire area, I mean, there's 50 counties being affected. by this storm all at once, 50 counties. And ironically enough, one of the heroes of the storm, let's focus on the positive, are bass fishermen, which are numerous in this area, that have flat-bottom boats, and they were asked to volunteer to help bring people out of flooded homes, and they showed up in droves, and it was just really a sight to see all these volunteers would drive to the water's edge with their flat-bottom boat, go to the homes, bring people out, the elderly, handicapped people, people that seem to have no hope, were all taken to safety by volunteers. And to me, they're the real heroes.
Yeah, I agree with that, Tim. I know you do, too. One thing I did see, I'm going to revert back for a moment away from positive to a positive, was on the news yesterday, someone had evacuated their home but left their dog chained to the tree in the backyard. And someone took a picture of that and posted it. Well, they also took a picture of the fact that they cut the chain and took the dog with them to take care of it. So that's a positive, but the animals, the fallout from the animals is going to be tremendous, I'm afraid, from livestock as well as pets. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be it's a devastating area, and it's tough. And Frank, I know you share with me that we're glad that Bob is in the right area.
Oh, yeah.
And that his house is going to be okay, even though I guess, Bob, you're going to get a lot more rain, right, for the next several days. You're going to at least be soaked with the rain, even if it doesn't flood into your house.
Yeah, it hadn't stopped in quite a while. I got the sensation sitting in the living room that I was sitting in the middle of my shower. I mean, the noise from the rain coming down was simply incredible. But as I said, I'm one of the lucky ones and happy to be able to come on the show and talk about the amazing accomplishments of Dustin Johnson and kind of tee up the remainder of these events. And by the way, guys, I have it on record that more than a few golfers have left Glen Oaks and headed out to the end of Long Island with an opportunity to play Shinnecock. The next event on the PGA Tour doesn't start till Friday, so they get an extra day, and they're out there on the east end. The weather forecast is simply outstanding for the next 2 days for Long Island. So a lot of guys are going to get to see Shinnecock for the first time, and no doubt in my mind that they're going to be thrilled with what they see, which is going to be the site of the 2018 United States Open.
Hey, Bob, you got to be pretty close. You're in Conroe. You're pretty close to that new, I say new, a year old now or a little bit more, Blue Jack National, aren't you? The course that Tiger designed?
Yeah, and I'm afraid they really haven't had any flooding per se. They've had a lot of rain, but a lot of those trees are brand new. I've been out there. Tiger did a heck of a job with that golf course. I mean, it's probably one of the top 10 already in the state of Texas, which is a pretty high compliment for a brand new facility. So they've been spared flooding. Obviously, too much rain is not going to help them, though.
I was kind of hoping Steve Johnson and I were actually going to go play there and later this fall. I don't know if those plans are still going to hold up or not, but we'll see. But you know, with all this rain, it certainly could have an effect on not only that course, but certainly, like Frank said, all the courses around there. We're again talking.
Give me a call. I'll caddy for you, Tim.
Would you do that?
I would love to do that.
Hey, by the way, there's a little bit of breaking news that we have. Again, we're on a podcast, so this is breaking as we're doing the show with you. But Michelle Wee had to withdraw from the Canadian Pacific Open because she wasn't feeling so well after the third round. And it just came out that she just had her appendix removed. She had to go in for kind of an emergency appendectomy, and she's fine. Everything's good. But up in Ottawa, and Michelle Wee's going to be laid up for a little bit from having that. So that's just coming out. I'm just seeing that online here. So that's she says it's all good. They had a photo of her with her thumb up, like everything's fine, and she appreciates the doctors. But it just tells you, and we say this all the time, how life always kind of gets in the way of athletes that we never expect. Like, they go through the things that we all go through. We all wonder why they don't do so well here and there. That's because life happens, you know, just like for all of us. And so she had to withdraw, and obviously now we know why. So she's fine, though. That's good.
Hey, Bob, so the grill room, what's on tap for the grill room this week, and where do our listeners go listen to your show?
Well, we got a lot on tap this week. Obviously, with the playoff situation, with the first FedEx Cup playoff event, we'll be talking that and be talking about, obviously, in Europe, John Daly. We'll have a complete wrap-up of some of the names that made it into the top 25. The last, web.com tour event was completed yesterday, and 25 guys received their cards. So we have a lot to talk about. The unbelievable performance by Brooks Henderson in the third round of the Canadian Pacific. Shot that 63, electrified the hometown fans. Didn't go on to victory, but she is truly a superstar up in the country of Canada, as well as she should be. And, of course, we'll be extending our well wishes, thanks to you, Tim, to Michelle Wee and a speedy recovery. She's truly one of the giants on the LPGA Tour, and no pun intended on how tall she is, but she is an extremely popular player, and I've known her since she was 12 years old, met her over in, at the Sony Open, and distinctly remember that Tom Lehman had an opportunity to play with her when she was 12, and talking to Tom after the round, he said to me he has never seen a finer golf swing on anybody than what he witnessed with Michelle Wee at 12 years old, which coming from Tom Lehman, I thought was a heck of a compliment, and she's certainly proven that, former United States Women's Open champion.
Yep. Wow, that's a big compliment.
It is. Very big, very big. Well, Bob, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much for being with us. Thanks for taking time out. I mean, you've obviously got a lot of other things happening all around you, and we're, again, grateful for your time, but also thankful that that you guys have avoided some of the big tragedies that have happened all around the Houston area. So we'll continue to hope that everything works out for you guys, and even though you get the rain, that a tree doesn't fall down on you or anything else bad happen around you. And we'll check back with you maybe later this week. Okay, Bob?
All right. Hey, thanks for having me on. And to all the people in Houston listening now, please stay safe. Don't take any unnecessary chances. And once again, guys, it's been a pleasure. Thanks.
Always.
All
thanks,
right.
Bob.
Bob Buck, host of The Grill Room on TuneIn Radio. And, I'm telling you, again, I'm in Dallas, and we all know Texas is a big state, very different up here than it is down there. So it's not that far away, but yet it's kind of a world away. And we're not getting anywhere near the weather that they're getting in the Houston area. And if you watch some of the coverage, Frank, it's just they show like before and after. They show a highway from 4 days ago, and it's just a regular-looking highway. They show it today, and it's a lake. I mean, like a 10-lane highway, you can't see any – all you see is the street signs that are almost covered themselves. It's amazing.
Really what you look for, or what I look for on television, is to see where the water line is on the street lights and the power poles. And when you see street lights, I'm talking stop lights, whatever, red, white, green, whatever, red, yellow, green, whatever colors they are. I don't know. I'll run them. When you see those almost touching the water, you know there's trouble. Yeah. I mean, there's trouble.
Well, the neighborhoods, that you can barely see the stop signs. Well, we all know stop signs are pretty much above everybody's head.
Yeah.
So if you were standing there, you'd be underwater, just standing in a typical suburban street. So, it's been really, really bad. It'll stay bad for a few more days. But as with everything, it'll pass, and wonderful people will show up and help other people and help their neighbors, and as they're doing already in Houston. And so we wish them all the best.
Yeah,
but
we do.
It's not an easy thing to go through. I've never gone through anything nearly like that. We've had some tornadoes near us, and I told you last week, ironically, we had an earthquake here in Dallas, but not a big one. But, you know, it shook us a little bit and stuff. So, but for people that go through those devastating
natural
disasters.
Lost the home. I mean, 4 feet of water in the entire first floor of our house. And it was brutal. It was devastating. Took a year to recover. So,
scary.
You know, our best to everybody that's suffering. Louisiana's about to get it, too. Listen, before we go, too, I want to tell all of our listeners, ask all of our listeners, please, to follow us on Twitter, at Golf Talk America, and on Facebook, Golf Talk America, because we want to give away some stuff. So if you're following us, then you're in. You're in any drawing that we have automatically.
But if you're not following us, you have no chance.
You don't have a chance if you don't follow us.
So why not do it? It's simple enough.
Follow. It's simple. At Golf Talk America, and on Facebook, Golf Talk America. And PGAtour.com/podcast, which is where you can hear this, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Audio Boom, on and on and on and on. We're everywhere. And some new stuff coming up this next year, next golf season, with LPGA and the PGA of America. So Golf Talk America is growing day by day, yep. Having fun with it. So it's a good thing. Hey, Vertical Groove Driver, by the way, I must say, vertgolf.com. Bob Bupka appears courtesy of them for us. They help help him out so he can be on our show every week. So thank you, vertgolf.com. We appreciate
it. Vertical Groove Drivers. Yeah, John Daly continues to show how good that driver is. So you don't have to just listen to us. Watch John Daly week after week, and it proves it how good that driver is.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, well, Frank, I think we're about done here.
Yeah, I think we are.
So I'd like to thank everybody for listening. I'd certainly like to thank Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf and Bob Bupka, host of The Green Room, for joining us today to update us on what's going on in the world of golf, as well as the little weather forecast for the Houston area. We give you everything here on this show. you can count on that. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. And please join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.